Anyway, good morning, everybody. How lovely to have your company again this morning on this second Sunday of Advent. I hope that you've managed to find an order of service. And it's great that I've got Dawn here, who's going to be helping to read the service this morning. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Reveal among us the light of your presence, that we may behold your power and glory. Blessed are you, sovereign God of all. To you be praise and glory forever. In your tender compassion, the dawn from on high is breaking upon us to dispel the lingering shadows of night. As we look for your coming among us this day, open our eyes to behold your presence and strengthen our hands to do your will, that the world may rejoice and give you praise. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. Come, let us return to the Lord and say, Lord our God, in our sin we have avoided your call. Our love for you is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early. Have mercy on us, deliver us from judgment, bind up our wounds, and revive us. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so we say the canticle together. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Saviour, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all that hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors, and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of all their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Our first reading comes from Malachi 3, verses 1 to 4. I will send my messenger, who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The message of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be accepted to the Lord, as in the days gone by, as in former years. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And we turn now to our canticle, a song of the wilderness, verses taken from Isaiah 35. And we begin by saying the refrain together. Lift up your voice with strength, O herald of good tidings. The wilderness and the dry land shall rejoice. The desert shall blossom and burst into song. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weary hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to the anxious, be strong, fear not. Your God is coming with judgment to save you. Then shall the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame leap like a hart and the tongue of the dumb sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The ransomed of the Lord shall return with singing, with everlasting joy upon their heads. Joy and gladness shall be theirs, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Lift up your voice with strength, O herald of good tidings.
Our second reading comes from Luke 3, 1, verses 1 to 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, Tetrarch of Iturea, and Tradonitis, and Lysanias, Tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, thank you, Dawn. Sorry about that reading. There we go. It's good to see preparations being made for Christmas. The twinkly lights, the shops full of treats and gifts, colourfully wrapped and imaginatively presented, the smiley, cuddly Christmas adverts showing happy families and friends gathering round tables laden with food and drink. And by now, some of us will have lit our Advent candles and scoffed our daily chocolate, or at least opened a window on the calendar. It's wonderful. It's amazing. It's exciting. It's so completely the opposite of our Bible readings during the Advent season. Instead of the inviting backdrop of a John Lewis advert to cheer our hearts, we have the backdrop of the wilderness, bleak, forsaken, lonely, and lifeless. It's worth remembering that so much of the Bible narrative is set in the wilderness. It's where people like Ishmael and Hagar were cast out and abandoned, only to meet with God in the wilderness and to be saved. It is the place where God's people escaped to from their Egyptian persecutors, and it is the place where God formed them into a nation. The wilderness is both a place and a theme which runs through both Old and New Testaments. It was a place to be feared, but it was also a place where one could find life, salvation, and hope. And on this second Sunday in Advent, As we are so aware of the desperate cries of many in our world who feel forgotten, abandoned, and afraid, it is the cry of hope coming out of the wilderness that we are invited to listen to. This is the voice of hope that cries out God's faithfulness to his people. This is the voice of hope that cries out amid desolation and despair. It is the voice of John the Baptist, who all four of the gospel writers put in the forefront of Jesus's story. John the Baptist is as far removed from baby dolls in mangers, sparkly angels, and fluffy lambs as we could possibly imagine. John the Baptist is dressed in camel hair. His only accessory, as far as we know, was a leather belt, and he had a very interesting diet as he only ate locusts and honey. And what's more, he went about shouting that people should repent and be baptized. Hardly a crowd pleaser. But if you thought that, you'd be wrong. People were flocking to hear him. And what's more, they were responding to what he said. You don't get John the Baptist in your average Advent calendar. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, writes Luke, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iudea, and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Luke is precise in naming five Roman officials with their specific titles, and then goes on to name the two high priests. Luke names seven people who at the time had immense wealth, power, and influence. They are seven people who would have been very, very important. And yet, the word of God doesn't come anywhere near them. The word of God comes to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. This was an amazing event. The word of God had not come to any prophet for public proclamation since the prophet Malachi in 460 BC. In other words, God had been silent for about 460 years. And now God was once again speaking to his people. As we read Luke throughout this year, we will see that the people who have power, emperors, governors, rulers, and high priests, don't hear God. But the outsider, the one in the wilderness, does. The word of the Lord comes to John in the wilderness. I wonder why money, power, authority, and influence can make it more difficult to hear the voice of God. Maybe it is because when we have those things, we think we don't need God because we have it all already. But when you are in the wilderness and you have no resources to fall back on, you have to be fully reliant on God. There is no other choice. Being in the wilderness exposes our need for God. However, the wilderness is also a place that calls us to repentance. Luke tells us that John went into the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Other gospel writers tell us that crowds of people came to the wilderness to be with John, to repent and to be baptized. In other words, they left the comfort of their normal lives and came to find something new and different in the wilderness. They came to a lifeless place, a place that was dead, but they found life. I know that sin and repentance are not popular words, but whether we like it or not, Advent begins with an honest appraisal of our own sinfulness. It may not be comfortable, but we need to do it. Most of us want to skip off to the manger and ooh and ah over the tiny baby without doing the Advent thing. But confronting our own failures and receiving God's reassurance, affirmation, and forgiveness is liberating. We don't need to deny or pretend. We make mistakes, we struggle, we're fallible, we're hypocritical, but most importantly of all, we are loved by a God who loves us completely and utterly as we are. That love is the love of restoration. It's the love of hope. It is the love of grace. It's the love of salvation. It is that love that brings life. And finally, Luke says that the wilderness is a place of leveling. Present-day politicians speak a lot about leveling and leveling up. Here we have John, the forerunner of Jesus, preparing the way for the one who will truly provide the means of transformation and leveling up for all. There is a recurring theme in Luke of the leveling of social status, the humble exalted and the exalted humbled. And it's worth noting that John was preaching in physically the lowest place on earth. Quoting the prophet Isaiah, Luke predicts a day when every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill made low, and the crooked shall be made straight and the rough ways made smooth. You get a totally different view of things when you're standing in the wilderness. When you're standing on the top of the mountain, you feel wonderful, the whole earth at your feet. If you're on the top, you wouldn't want the mountain to be flattened. But from the top of the mountain, you get a very skewed view. Unless we're in the wilderness, it's hard to see our own privilege and even harder to imagine giving it up. But when we're wandering in the wilderness, surrounded by it in every direction, we can see what a privileged position so often obscures. We can feel the rough, hard ground beneath our feet. We know what it is like to struggle down steep ravines or up rough and twisted paths. We can look to the mountaintops and see that they know nothing of our wilderness landscape. And then we begin to understand what is meant when God declares that every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low, the crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth. This is the landscape God desires. And why? So all people will see God's salvation. The word of the Lord came to John in the wilderness. May it come to us too. May we, like John, be voices of hope, crying out in desolate places for the forgotten and the lost, preparing the way of the Lord so that all may see God's salvation. Amen.
Amen.
O come, Emmanuel. In joyful expectation of his coming to our aid, let us pray to Jesus our Lord, who ever lives to make intercession for us. Lord of the Church, come to your Church as Lord and Judge. Empower by your Spirit all Christian people and the work of your Church in every hand. Especially we pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters across the world. Help us to live in the light of your coming and give us a longing for your kingdom. Give us grace to proclaim and live out the gospel joyfully in word and deed. Maranatha.
Amen. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Saviour of the world, come to your world as King of the nations. Be present in all places of suffering, violence and pain, and bring hope even in the darkest night. We pray for Ethiopia, for Sudan, for nations entrapped in conflict and violence, for refugees and all who are in danger. Inspire us to continue your work of reconciliation today. Maranatha.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Great physician, come to the suffering as saviour and comforter. Stretch out your hand to bring healing, wholeness and peace to all who suffer in body, mind and spirit. Especially we pray for Jacques, Jen, Brian, Jennifer, Jean, Jane, Alan, Aileen, Rosemary, Ali, Morris, Gordon, Sally, Richard, Marion, Camilla, Brenda, Robert, Tim, and Aidy. Fill us with compassion that we may be channels of healing love. Maranatha.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus. Shepherd and guardian of our souls, guide and enable all who lead and serve this nation and our local communities and those we depend on for our daily needs. Grant that we may seek the peace and welfare of this place. Maranatha.
Amen. Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus. Conqueror of death, remember for good those whom we love but see no longer. Especially, we remember Ron Tidball. Comfort those who mourn and help us all to live this day in the sure and certain hope of your eternal victory. Maranatha.
Amen. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus, with power and great glory. Do not delay. Give new courage to your people who trust in your love. By your coming, raise us to share in the joy of your kingdom on earth as in heaven, where you live and reign with the Father and the Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. And the collect for the day. O Lord, raise up, we pray, your power and come among us, and with great might succour us, that whereas through our sins and wickedness we are grievously hindered in running the race that is set before us, your bountiful grace and mercy may speedily help and deliver us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit the honour and glory now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And we join together as our Saviour taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
May God the Father, who loved the world so much, he sent his only Son, to come among us in great humility, open your eyes to look for his coming again. Amen. May God the Son give you grace to live in the light of his coming as Redeemer and Judge. Amen. May God the Spirit free you from sin, make you holy, and bring you to eternal life. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us and those we love and pray for today and always. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much for your company this morning. Thank you, Dawn. Lovely to see and hear you all. The coffee morning is back on Zoom on Wednesday morning. Hopefully you have got the details. Everybody would be very welcome to join us. And on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, there is a short service of Compline. Again, the Zoom details are there at the end of the order of service. If you haven't got them, then do please contact the office for that and the service sheet. And it would be lovely to see you there as well. If not, see you next Sunday. I'm off to Rackenford now, and I'm sure I will catch up with some of you before too long. Have a great day. May the sun continue to shine on you. Bye-bye.